Good evening or good morning, dear ones, and welcome to our midweek church service on the seventh day of March 2018. Glad to be back in fellowship with you, and welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording, and glad to be with you as well. Our opening song is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord.
Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Oh, that with yonder angel throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. The one true God of this earth and all other so-called gods are false. Just a figment of Lucifer's imagination to deceive the world and to get them to become part of his synagogue. Praise our dear Savior for coming to save us and to bring us back home to the Father. So again, welcome one and all, and it's now time for opening prayer, and let us please bow our heads and our knees. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care and guidance. We pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be with us tonight to lead and guide us into all truth, away from all error, and to embed the precious Word of God in our hearts and minds to where it cannot be removed, but may become the guide of our lives. We pray that you'll be with all of those that have requested prayers. Please hear and answer their petitions. Be especially with dear sister Sandra and help her to recover in the health issue that is affecting her. And let her come back to health quickly and to again resume her responsibilities. And thank you so much for thy merciful kindness and for being our great physician that will indeed heal us of all maladies, whether mental, physical, or spiritual, according to his perfect will. So So thank you for being with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So welcome again, one and all. And we're continuing in our study book of Acts. We're in chapter 8 and down on verse 24. And the last thing that we were discussing was when Simon asked the apostles that he wanted to be able to give the Holy Spirit to all those who asked for him, just like the apostles were able to do, and he was willing to give money for that privilege or that power, that ability. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, you're still in the gall of bitterness. You're still connected with the devil, thinking that you can buy the gift of God for money. And God only gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him, not to those who are rich enough to purchase that gift. So now we pick it up at verse 24. After hearing these very sharp, pointed words of warning and admonition, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. Now, it's interesting here. Simon didn't say, Lord, I repent, forgive me, cleanse my heart, renew a right spirit within me. But he asked for the apostles to pray for him. So right there it shows you that Simon really did not have a direct connection with God. Because if he did, he would have prayed directly to the Lord himself. So if we have a close walk with the Lord, we have nothing to fear in coming to him in any time of need. In fact, we have encouragement to do just that. And we have a promise that he will take our prayer and petition before the Father, and the Father will hear and answer it according to his will, because he also loves us just like the Savior. So I hope that Simon prayed for himself and not just asked for prayers of others. But it doesn't say here that he did. And it also doesn't say that the apostles prayed for him, although I believe they did. Are there any other thoughts or comments?
Elder Bob, it seems to me that in that verse, the end part, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which I have spoken come upon me, he's not even admitting to any sin at all, to the bitterness and iniquity he's been charged with. He's saying, well, I'm okay, but don't let it happen. Keep it away from me. Do you think it's, that's perhaps what he's saying? Don't let these things that you talked about happen to me.
Well, perhaps, dear sister, it's quite possible because, you know, you're correct. He does not say anywhere in his words that he's guilty of the things that Peter pointed out to him. And it doesn't say anywhere that he repented of them. So, I mean, that's a good point, and that is indeed a possibility. You know, and when we're dealing with the aspect of confession, if we confess our sins, he, or Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But our confession has to be pointed. We can't just in a general way say, Lord, forgive me my sins, because that's not true confession. If we confess our sin, so that brings up the aspect we have to recognize what that sin is And then we have to humble ourselves in confessing that sin. And if we do so, then we have the promise that Christ will forgive us that sin. So we have to be specific when we pray for forgiveness. Now, if we don't, like the sins of our youth, you know, there's, for some of us, there's quite a few of those, and our memory isn't sharp as it should be, and it's nearly impossible to remember each one. So, I mean, like David said, Lord, forgive me the sin of my youth. I mean, we could do the same, but if the Spirit points out specific sins and brings them to our memory that we committed way back when we were young, then that's the time to confess them. And if the sins were done against someone else, then we also need to go to them and confess those sins to them. Because God will not forgive us until we make the sin right or confess it, and do what we can to undo whatever damage was done to those whom we wronged. And after we've done what we can, then go to God and ask Him to forgive us our sins, and He will. You know, it's like a thief that stole, well, it really doesn't matter how much money. Let's say you stole $10. He can't go to God and say, forgive me for stealing from my brother, if that $10 that he stole is still with him. Or perhaps he spent it up. So he has to return that $10 to his brother and apologize, confess his sin, and repent to his brother for stealing that money. And then after he's done that, he can go to God and ask forgiveness for being a thief. But as long as the price of his sin is in his hand, how can he really believe that God is going to hear his prayer and forgive him when he hasn't undone the sin? It's still there. Amen. And the confession has to be serious, honest confession, and it needs to be complete. Amen indeed. If he stole $10 one day and $5 the next, he has to repent for both of those, not just the one, thinking that it covers the other. Please forgive me for being a thief, and expect that that's going to cover the two times that he's stolen from his brother. It needs to be full and complete confession. If it's a partial confession, it's not going to do him much good, because he doesn't recognize the full extent of his sin. He only partially recognizes it. And thus, the part he doesn't recognize or is unwilling to confess is going to come back and continue to be a problem with his character. So you're absolutely right, dear sister. Nowhere in this verse does it say that he repented or confessed his sin. And he may have just been wanting to get away from the consequences. Question in the room, it says, do we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into specific confessing of a certain sin? Well, I would say yes, because the Spirit will enlighten our mind, and part of the Spirit's work is to convict or reprove us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Spirit will come to us and prick our hearts that we've done something wrong, and it may not be something recent, it may be something way long ago in the past. That's his work. He knows what sins are registered against our name in the record books of heaven. The Spirit doesn't want to see us lost. And so when our heart is at the right state, then He'll come to us and He'll prick our hearts. He'll reprove us or convict us of our sins. And then it's our responsibility to recognize His voice, to just not pass it off as a thought of no import, but to investigate it. Have I really done that? And as we investigate, the Spirit is there to open and quicken our understanding. And when we recognize we've done wrong, then that's the time to seek to make it right. If we've wronged someone, go to them and make it right. Then we can go to God with a clear conscience that we've done everything we can to undo the wrong, and that God, in faith, will forgive us through the blood, merits, and righteousness of our Savior. Another comment, it says, maybe he or Simon was so new to the gospel that he didn't know how to go to God by himself. That's possible. And I would imagine the apostles would help him to understand that particular area. But a lot of times the Bible just gives the overview of what took place and doesn't become as specific as what really took place. I mean, it's not like a dictation, but it gives the overview or the bones of the structure. And that's why I like the Spirit of Prophecy, because a lot of times she fills in the gaps. Whereas the Scriptures bring out what took place, the Lord inspired her to give more of the detail. Continuing, verse 25. And they, or the apostles, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now remember, Stephen had been stoned, and so now the gospel is no longer just to be limited among the Jews, but is now to be spread far and wide. And here we have the apostles, including Peter, returning to Jerusalem, and of course passing through many of the villages of the Samaritans on the way, and they were preaching the gospel as they went. In verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias, or Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So here we have Philip, which was an evangelist, being directed directly by the angel of the Lord, and following the direction that was given him, went toward the south from Jerusalem unto Gaza into the desert. And as he was going, he saw in the distance a caravan, if you will, that had come to worship at Jerusalem and now was heading back to Ethiopia. And as he saw this seen in front of him, the Spirit of God said unto Philip, go and join yourself to the chariot. Now, how quickly did Philip obey? Did he argue with the Spirit? Did he say, is this really the voice of the Lord? Am I really to go and join this caravan, this chariot. I don't even know who the guy is. Perhaps he's going to rebuff me. Perhaps he's going to tell me to get away. Maybe even, you know, if it looks like treasure he's bringing back, perhaps he's going to think I'm a robber and he's going to have the guards there run me through. And 100 other different excuses. But it says here, verse 30, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. So Philip was so close to the Lord that he could recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to him and telling him to go near and join himself with this caravan. And dear ones, we need to be that close to the Lord that we can understand when He or the Spirit is speaking unto us. And when we recognize the voice of the Lord or the voice of the Holy Spirit, we need to immediately obey. Now, this caravan was moving on a pretty good pace. The camels or the horses or the donkeys was pulling this chariot and, you know, it was probably going 3 to 5 miles an hour. So in order for Philip to get to it before it would pass him by, he had to run. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen indeed. So when Philip obeyed, running, he got to the chariot, and as he got there, he heard this eunuch reading out loud the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He wanted an open door to be able to share the gospel. And the Spirit gave him exactly the right words to use. Do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? What a wide open invitation to share the gospel. So not only was the Spirit working on the heart of Philip saying, go join yourself to that man, but the Spirit was working on the heart of the eunuch, leading him to read that particular passage in Isaiah, leading him to read it out loud so Philip could hear it, giving Philip the words to say, and then impressing the eunuch with the words to say in response. All to open the door to spread the gospel. Now this eunuch was on his way back to the land of Ethiopia. This was a golden opportunity for the gospel to be better opened up to the understanding of the eunuch, who was going to, of course, share it with everyone that he met back in Ethiopia. But if Philip wasn't closely walking with the Lord enough to understand the Spirit telling him, you need to get over there quick, then this golden opportunity, this wide open door for the spreading of the gospel would have been lost. So we need to be so closely attuned to God that we can recognize his voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And then be so submissive to his will that we immediately obey. Because if we dilly-dally, or if we're uncertain what voice we're hearing is really from God or not, then our delay may prevent the gospel spreading to a whole class of people. And their blood, if they should be lost, amen, from that lost opportunity, their blood will be on our shoulders because we had the Spirit impressing us to do something, but we didn't do it for one reason or another. So Philip ran to meet this chariot. And when he got there, he heard the man of the chariot reading Isaiah. The Spirit impressed him to say, do you understand what you're reading? The Spirit impressed the man to say, no, not really, because I need someone to open my understanding. And then look what the Spirit led him to do. Continuing. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. This shows me what the Lord can do in preparing the way to reach hearts. If you look at all the different steps that had to be taken for this meeting to occur between Philip and the eunuch, it's almost unimaginable. This eunuch had to come from Ethiopia, specifically to Jerusalem, to worship at that particular time. He had to then leave at a particular time in order to reach that one spot. Then God had to work on arranging the circumstances of Philip so that he would be in a particular area at a particular time with just enough remaining time to run and meet with this chariot at that spot. How many weeks was this in planning? Or months, I don't know how long it would have taken the individual, the eunuch from Ethiopia to make it all the way to Jerusalem to worship for a particular time and then start heading back. It's like with the three wise men from the east. How long did they travel before they finally got to that one spot to where they saw the star? To where they found Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus in an inn, a room of the inn. It may have been a year or more. But yet God, the Holy Spirit, and the heavenly angels was arranging the circumstances for everything to occur at the proper time. And even then, Philip had to run in order to get to the chariot so it wouldn't pass him by. So God's in control of his work. He has his agents, you and me, to reach out to those that he's seeking to save from being lost. Are we going to be co-laborers with God? Are we going to follow his leadership, his guidance? Are we going to be in a frame of mind to recognize his voice and his leading and then be obedient to his impressions? If we are, if we're fully submissive to him, then great things will be accomplished in righteousness. Because God is seriously seeking to save the lost, because time is short. Amen. It is no secret what God can do. And at times, he lifts the veil and allows us to see a little bit of his miraculous working. And it is marvelous to behold. But what a privilege it is to be co-laborers with the Most High. What a privilege it is to join with him in singing over a precious soul deciding to give their heart to God. And what a joy it will be to see precious souls enjoying eternity and recognizing that God helped us to reach them. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, and the new earth even better. May we be faithful, submissive, and obedient in every issue, is my prayer. Well, let us please open it up to a season of prayer. And who would like to be the first to begin?
Can we bow our heads and our knees? Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, this message. Help us to maintain a connection with heaven that's close enough, so close that we can hear your voice telling us to do things similar as the Holy Spirit told Philip. We have to have faith, and sometimes I wonder if it's even the size of a grain of mustard seed, as Jesus said. But he's promised that he would give us words when we needed them. And, of course, that means we have to prepare ahead of time through prayer and study of God's Word. We thank you for the blessing of this day, for your healing hand on those who are sick, to restore them to health, physically and spiritually. Bless us each one and help us to follow the path that you have laid out.
Kind Father, Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of fellowship online. Thank you for the plain path that's set out for each of us. And that's, it's one day at a time. And we are to renew ourselves every day and rededicate ourselves. It's not humiliating. And I pray we'll be strengthened and never view it as such, because our life, you've made it worth living now, Jesus, to pay for our debt of sin and to empower us to live above it, to follow you, to look like you and sound like you. And the world needs to know you. And we're thankful that the work is going forward and it will be completed, despite what the enemies of Christ may say, and especially what Satan has said, as we have recorded in the Spirit of Prophecy. Thank you for this blueprint, so we can avoid snares that are set for our feet to cause us to fall and stumble, and to cause others to fall and stumble through our fall and stumble. That is preventable. Thank you for the cure for sin, and we pray for complete recognition of anything and everything that you have to reveal to us yet, even sins of our youth, so that we don't continue them in adulthood, that we would avoid them like a plague, but in Christ's strength, and rejoice in the truth that is like no other. There's no religion like true Christianity, which the first place of our affections and love is to a Saviour, the only Saviour there ever was. Not a Saviour over a nation to conquer it, not a Saviour over a world to conquer it and rule it, but over that big, undeniable foe called self. I thank you for constantly attending to the unspoken prayer requests of our dear brothers and sisters, and those who ask for prayers that aren't of our faith and perhaps don't even know anything about Christianity and yet ask. I pray that we would be instrumental in their life to help them see the privilege of not only asking someone else, but to also themselves exercise faith and expect answers according to your will, and find answers according to your revealed will, which is in black and white. I pray you'll continue to help Judy, dear Sister Lucy's sister, recover from that fall of hers. And another opportunity would be open for us to reach out to her and her atheistic views in wisdom. I uphold Sister Agnes, who's showed an interest in the Sabbath, has shown an interest to such an extent that, I mean, to human eyes, it looks like she's on the verge of the kingdom. And we pray not to hinder her, and that we can be a blessing in the time to come when we meet her for the first time. Please continue to sink deep the truth of your word on those seeds that have been sown around the world, and help us increase in doing this, but not without love to you, that we might do it in your strength and by your wisdom, like Philip did for the dear Ethiopian. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Precious Father in heaven, we again thank you for being with us, for opening our understanding through thy Spirit to the words that we have read and discussed and pondered on. And I pray that the Spirit will continue to be given us, and that we will come to understand the greater import of these words of inspiration, so that not a single gem of truth will be lost, but that we may comprehend it, we may see it in its beauty, and practice it in our lives. Help us indeed to be minute men and minute women, that at the time we recognize the Spirit telling us to do something or to go someplace, that we will in faith do so, looking unto Jesus for directions at each step of the way. And thank you again for the great privilege and honor to work with thee in seeking to save the lost. Please bless our efforts, that indeed an abundant harvest may occur to your glory and the emptying of Babylon. And thank you that we're one day closer to the coming of our Lord. Help us to get ready. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And amen. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Please go right ahead. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Sowing in the sunshine, sowing in the shadows, fearing neither cloud nor winter's chilling breeze. By and by the harvest and the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master, though the loss sustained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Well, let's see how my memory serves me. I don't have a piece of sheet music in front of me, but I've been thinking about a song here recently. The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in His light, you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Do not be disheartened. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Just when I need need him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, Jesus is true. Never forsaking all the way through. Giving for burdens, pleasures anew. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, Jesus is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Just when I need him, he is my all, answering when upon him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fall, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most.
Amen. And a comment in the room, it says, I want to praise the Lord for doing okay after falling on the hard road. I was walking too confidently and slipped on the ice. Oh, dear sister. We'll indeed keep you in prayer that everything is okay and that it won't happen again. The winter's almost over. Yay! So praise God you weren't hurt worse.
That song is, I'm looking up the words to it, but I can't seem to find them. But the chorus goes, can the world see Jesus in me?
Sorry, dear sister, you cut out after singing, can the world see Jesus in me? And then we didn't hear anything more. You want to try it one more time?
Okay, I'm giving it another try. Do we live so close to the world today, passing to and fro on life's busy way? Do the world see Jesus in every way, from the man of Calvary? Can the world see Jesus in me? Can the world see Jesus in you? Does your love to him ring true? And your life and service too? Can the world see Jesus? I'll have to look the words up to that. That is a really nice song, and I kind of messed up on the verse, but it really, I'll look it up and maybe have it for Sabbath.
Looking forward to that. And thank you for trying again. We heard just about all of it. Just the little bits here and there were kind of cut out, but it was definitely better than the first time. So thank you, dear sister. And what a Sabbath treat's coming. Another hymn. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the darkness dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who'll go and help this shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in.
Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountain, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep, wherever they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. And again, what a privilege it is to be co-laborers with the Most High in seeking to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear ones, are there any other songs, any other testimonies, any other thoughts that you'd like to share before we close? Please go right ahead.
Oh, I should share this one. Last week when I was at work, a fellow bus driver, Stephen, we crossed paths, and Stephen was getting a book out. He's 65, turning 65 this year, and he had a book, and I said, so are you going to read that in your break? He said, yeah. I said, what is that? And then he showed me, he said, it's the secret writings of Jesus Christ and secret scriptures. And I thought to myself, okay. So have you read the Bible, Stephen? He said, no. Okay, so I was hoping he'd think in his mind, well, how's he going to compare? But anyway, it opened up an opportunity just to share. I used to be like him, the way that he thinks, and some of the things he says, a lot of other things that are very different. And it was so good. I could just share it, and he would be listening. It was so nice. I prefer it when it happens in the depot because more people hear. But we happen to be out in the sun. We were sweating, and I was really glad we had that conversation. I tend to be like, after bus driving's over, I just head straight home. I'm 50 minutes away. But it is a blessing when you can just stay behind, or you just don't have lunch or whatever, and you get the people that want to tell you what their beliefs are. and that. And a lot of people are just like, they don't want to talk if it's got anything to do with religion, but they don't realize their irreligion is kind of like a religion, because you look in the dictionary, it says way of life in one, well, in Oxford. And so this idea that no one, we don't talk on that subject or politics or the person one's married to, I don't know how far that rings true, because it's so intertwined in everything else that you do. So I shared where I come from, why I wasn't brought up a Christian, why I became a Christian, and who Jesus is to me, a living Savior. And I'm hoping Stephen seriously considers that whatever he gains through that book, that he'll maybe feel free to share it with me. He's quite open, quite easy to talk to, and because he knows practically nothing. I mean, I said, have you read the Bible? There's a story about Jesus, the centerpiece of the whole book? No. Just like my dad, who, by the way, I'm thinking to take today again to the hospital, in the hope of my dad. My dad's come very close to dying. He's got multiple blockages of the arteries near the heart, and he's not in a great way, but I think he's looking hopeful that they'll be able to deal with his symptoms, but it's just a miracle he's still here. He's had problems for months, and it seems very hard for him because of nature, human nature, to want to change diet at least, and also to get exercise and other needful things. And he's open and willing to a certain extent, but he thinks it's time to give up, you know. He said, oh, I've been living the way I've been living, and, you know, it's not like I've been living. Yeah, I told him that, yeah. And I also said, you can give, good point, Brother Bob, a pinch of cayenne under the tongue. Now, he didn't like the sound of that. So I said, you could put it in a bit of water, mix it, Dad, and then you could swallow it, and swallow it slowly, because that'll get the heart pumping. And I also told him about, what do they call it? Throat CPR, I think it's called, where you take, if you think a heart attack's coming on, you can breathe in deeply and give a deep cough. And what it does is it squeezes the, you're taking oxygen into the lungs, and then it squeezes the blood from the heart pump and keeps you going. If you keep that up, Dad, until you can get proper help, or sometimes people have actually come back to normal just by giving themselves throat CPR. So he listened to that, because unfortunately my dad doesn't like hospital at all, like even if he really actually needs it. So he just waits until, you know, the ambulance. He seems to be okay then, but so it's pretty hard to monitor. Because it's he's fainted in front of my sister, and he's had some serious issues when he's had his partner with him. So keeping him in prayer, and thank you for keeping him in prayer, and I hope I can play some role in his life for the better. Thank you.
Amen. And let's have a prayer for him right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be with Brother James's precious father and work on his heart in both ways, but especially in the spiritual way, to lead him to thee. And thank you for allowing him to recover from the other attacks and problems to where he still has probation open. And I pray that you'll give our dear brother James the words to say and impress the heart of his father to listen and to ponder and to come to the point of making that decision to connect himself with Christ or not to. And I pray that you'll give him the courage and the decision to follow Jesus all the way. And thank you so much for doing so. Please also be with our dear sister Ida and help her to recuperate from the fall. Let there be no underlying injuries. And thank you for protecting her, because it could have been much worse. Thank you again for being a God that's close at hand, one that we can come to in any time, day or night, with our needs or just to talk. Thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
I may have said this before, but I say it again. As I've been working on the cabinet doors for our kitchen, all 45 of them, every time I come to the end of a day, I look at my fingers and I say, thank you, Lord, I still have all 10 of them. That spinning blade and that whirring router head, router bit, could really do a number on me. Told my brother here a while back, I'm getting frightened of my cabinet saw. I think I'll get rid of it and get another type of saw. It's called a saw stop. Somebody invented it, invented the mechanism and adapted it to a saw similar to the cabinet saw, like I have, and gave it the name saw stop. I saw a video of the fellow putting his own finger into the blade to prove that it would do what he said. It would instantly stop the blade and drop it below the table, so no more chance of cutting yourself. And my brother says, why buy that? Why don't you get the track saw that I had seen some months before and thought it was too expensive? Now, it has the blade on the lower side of the work and not on the top side. And I said, you know, find me that ad again. And he found it. And I ordered it December 27. It came today. I don't know if it made the rounds of Peking or not, but it came. And now I have a puzzle to put together. It won't happen real fast, but it all came in pieces. But I still thank the Lord that I have 10 fingers. I've seen several people that have tried woodworking or do woodworking that are minus one or two. And I'm just thankful that I still have all 10.
Amen. We're happy as well, dear brother. Well, there was, would someone like to pick our last song? Great choice. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinner, come home.
For the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones. So keep looking up. Be sure you come back and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Just a couple days. So keep looking up, dear ones, and may God bless.